Hi everyone, you're listening to Raining Diapers and Tears. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Andy.
Last episode, we talked about our hospital stay with the baby. On today's episode, we'll be talking about our first days home with the baby. We hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, so we're running a little bit behind again. I think we're just going to do every 2 weeks.
Yeah, so we were talking and we think for now, it'll be easier to do the podcast bi-weekly rather than weekly, just because especially lately, our baby hasn't been very cooperative with going to sleep.
Yeah, who knew having a baby was going to make your life a little bit difficult and not easy to plan. So it is what it is. We'll just keep pushing and we'll try to do an episode every 2 weeks.
Yep.
We also had events like Halloween come up, and also the election was going on, and we had the Giants game last Monday. So it was an eventful week for sure. There wasn't really much time for us to get something like this done.
Yeah, we didn't really end up having that much time to sit and record because we had Halloween, and then there, like Andy said, there was a Giants game, there was the election, so there was just a lot going on, so we really just didn't have time.
Yeah, and after watching the Giants play Tampa and watching Daniel Jones suck it up, it really wasn't a good vibe for a podcast. Really,
yeah.
Kind of sucked the energy out of me for sure. Wanted to
yeah.
Do nothing but cry about being a Giants fan.
But so what did you think about our Halloween with the baby?
It's disappointing because when I was a kid, like I said in a previous episode, we bought my parents' house, the house I grew up in. And I remember it being an event and just having like nonstop people coming to the door and just me like just going all over the neighborhood and going to the other neighborhoods and driving places and having like a pillowcase full of candy. And I just feel like it's not the same way. Maybe because the neighborhood is still currently turning over, so there's not that many kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's still Halloween like I remember in other places, but I don't know. It's different. We had one group of like five little girls.
Yeah.
And I remember you saw one little girl take an extra bag because you laid out the bags on a table outside for COVID reasons. You did a nice job with like designs for the bag. With,
yeah,
like, a mask.
I did like little individual bags instead of like kids just grabbing from a bowl. I did individual bags for the kids. And yeah, we had one group of five kids come and one girl took like three or five bags, I think.
Oh my God. And it's like she spray painted our house. You would not let it go. It's like, dude, it's okay. Leave it alone. It's all right. She's a little girl. She took extra candy. She was the last person to come to our house anyways.
Well, that was our first group. So I was just worried like, oh my God, what if we run out of candy now?
It was like, you wanted her to be charged with a felony. Like, just let it go.
But yeah, no, it is a little disappointing. There's like barely any kids. But I know even in my neighborhood growing up, we didn't have a ton of trick-or-treaters just because it was a tricky neighborhood to go trick-or-treating
yeah,
in.
Yours is like a really big hill.
Yeah. So, but I do remember growing up going to other neighborhoods that were like hopping.
Yeah.
And like you would go to those crazy neighborhoods and get a bunch of candy. But our neighborhood is definitely not like that. And because of COVID and like the baby's so little, he doesn't know. We didn't go trick or treating.
No,
we just opted to.
With this baby.
We just opted to see the grandparents with him all dressed up and call it a day.
Right.
So that was our Halloween.
And I get that it's like a pandemic, so it's not going to be a normal Halloween. But I'm just talking about the last couple of years. It's been different,
right?
I don't know. But then also Mischief Night. What the hell happened to Mischief Night? I remember like curfews and like hearing about it on the radio. I remember personally like going out TPing houses and like throwing eggs at cars and all kinds of like mischief and having like cousin and like my friend come out and like paintballing houses and stuff like that. Like really bad stuff that I just feel like it's not a thing anymore. Like nobody talks about Mischief Night.
Yeah, I feel like I never hear anything about Mischief Night. I feel like it just doesn't exist. I know. Yeah, because in my town growing up, I remember like the next day you would see like random trees in the town like strewn with toilet paper. And I don't know if that happens anymore.
I mean, I guess it's good that it doesn't happen anymore. But I feel like, I don't know, I'm sorry for our son. Like, I hope he can grow up and get into some trouble. I feel like nowadays it's boring.
Minor trouble,
of course. But it's weird because, I don't know, I feel like there's so much technology now, like you're photographed everywhere, that you get in so much trouble for the littlest things now, that when we were kids, it was kind of like you just get yelled at by your parents. So, and I guess things stick to your record more, but
yeah,
whatever. It's just like, I don't know. I hope he's able to get in a little bit of trouble growing up. Like, I don't want, I don't know. Like, it wasn't that I was a bad kid, but it was just always nice to like be teetering on like the edge of getting arrested or just like coming home and laughing with your friends about what you did that night.
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's weird thinking about it now and just like looking at it as like an adult, like that perspective, or just, you know, I'm 31 now looking back, it's like things have changed and maybe they haven't. It's just, I live a boring life now. I don't know, but it's, Halloween is definitely disappointing. Maybe it'll start turning over as he grows and start taking him trick-or-treating. I just hope that
we might just we might need to find the right neighborhoods. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't happen in our own neighborhood.
Right. Well, I hope we can drive around and find, like, say we pick a neighborhood to go trick-or-treating. I hope when we get out, there's a bunch of kids trick-or-treating. I don't want to be the only group, you know, like me, you, and our
son
knocking on doors by ourselves.
I'm sure there are neighborhoods that are like that, though. Like, yeah. I think our neighborhood is just kind of like a dead one for Halloween. But also, just going back quickly with the Mischief Night thing, I think like maybe the fact that you can get in like a lot more trouble these days might be why there's less of it happening. And I think also going along with the technology, I just think kids don't spend that much time outside anymore. And I think that's part of it too, is like,
yeah,
I just feel like
I think it depends
more on, like, of their time is spent indoors.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it depends on your neighborhood. And like, like my neighborhood was outside playing sports constantly,
I guess. But I don't know. I mean, think about it. When we were growing up, the technology was just like,
well, also every house developing. Has like a Ring camera. So like you're photographed even on your neighborhood everywhere you are, like not even going into like the public. It's not that I'm saying you're breaking into houses. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. It's, I don't know. I just hope that he gets to grow up in a neighborhood, whether it be here or we move down the line, where it's like how it was when I grew up, where we played sports all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll get that.
Yeah. But before we continue with the episode, we have some other exciting news. This Thursday is the release of the PlayStation 5. So we had to record. We're recording now on Monday, November 9th. It's today's date, right?
Think so.
Yeah, so we had to get this done before Thursday because I, speaking of not going outside and being a hermit, I plan on playing that PlayStation until one of the controllers break. So that's exciting. Just wanted to make sure I gave PlayStation a little shout out here.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah, you're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited because that means you come home from work and I don't get a break.
Nope.
Yeah. I'm on mom duty all the time, I guess.
Sorry, no, I'll help you out when I can, but it is what it is.
Whatever.
But all right, let's go back to us leaving the hospital. I know there were some things you wanted to touch up on before we continue with us getting home.
There was just one thing. For the first time. Yeah, there was one thing that I realized we kind of missed out on that we didn't touch on from our stay at the hospital. And that was the fact that we had a lactation consultant that came and met with us the day the baby was born. And then I think she checked in on us the next 2 days, both.
She came two times.
Yeah, I think she checked in. Okay, so she checked in on the first day he was born, then the day after. So that's something that, like, to any future moms that might be listening or future parents that are listening, if you plan on trying to breastfeed, I would highly recommend. I think most hospitals have lactation consultants meet with you.
I can't imagine they don't. I feel like it's pretty routine.
I'm sure it's a routine thing, but if not, I highly, highly recommend having a lactation consultant meet with you, because breastfeeding is very difficult in the beginning. And so the
especially first time, I'm sure. You have no idea what to expect.
Exactly. You had no idea what to expect. So having a lactation consultant just kind of talk to you and educate you and like show you how to do things is really, really helpful. And she actually, after we were home for a while, for a few weeks, she actually called to check in with me, which was nice. So I know that she would have come to the house if I needed her to. But I was feeling pretty good at that point.
Yeah, you took to it.
Thankfully.
Fast. I know. Thankfully. Yeah, it's been a pretty easy, I mean, it's not my nipples being chewed on, but a pretty easy road for you, I would say. You and the baby kind of have it down now. It's impressive to watch.
I mean, I wouldn't call it easy for sure. It was hard.
Yeah, but I watch you just whip that thing out and he's like a fish sucking away at the air. Then you plop it in his mouth and you guys are both set on your path. It's really interesting.
Well, at this point, it's like second nature pretty much. But in the beginning, it was very hard. And I do remember in the hospital when she would come in, it was like just a miracle worker. Yeah, because, like, wouldn't be able to get the baby to latch correctly or whatever. And then she would come in and suddenly, like, the baby's latched and eating perfect.
No, that I'm is like, true. What? I remember being almost afraid, like, I hope we can feed this baby. Like, I hope this baby's going to survive tonight because we can't get it to latch, or we don't know if like any milk or whatever the stuff is before the milk.
Colostrum
is coming out. And when she came in, it was like a miracle. You're like, yes, thank you so much.
I know. Well, I just remember like when she would help us, all of a sudden everything worked perfectly. Yeah, and of course. Like,
she had the magic touch.
She has the magic touch. Yeah. So.
But she was like a quirky personality. Like, I remember when she came in, she called me like Papa. And I was like, that's the first time I called Papa.
Yeah. She was a funny lady, but I really liked her. Awesome. She was very informative, very helpful.
Cool when you're like in a situation like that where you're tired, you're recovering, you're stressed, you're nervous, and you have somebody like walk in the door that's like upbeat, quirky. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, okay, we're going to be okay. Like, this isn't like, it's serious, but you can get through it. Like, you're going to be all right. Like, she was cool. She like just puts confidence into you that you can do this.
Yeah. So like I said, highly recommends getting in touch with a lactation consultant for any future mamas that plan on breastfeeding. Yeah, definitely helps.
For sure. Yep. So I remember when we were leaving, I asked the nurse, I was like, hey, do you mind putting the baby in the car seat just so I can see how it's done? And just being really nervous about it. And the nurse telling me, no, like, we're not allowed to do it for liability reasons. And, you know, God forbid he got into an accident, you could say that we put the baby in the car seat wrong. And I remember that, like, bothering me a little bit. I'm like, I'm terrified. I have no idea how to do it. This baby is so small. I don't know. Like, I just wish I could have seen how somebody puts the baby into the car seat. So I put the baby in the car seat, like, tightened the baby up, and I left with all the bags. I remember struggling walking down to the car and just being so nervous about our first drive home. And then I guess they put you in the wheelchair with the baby, and, you know, I caught up to you later with the car. But that was like a really weird, scary, cool, fun experience, just being like, okay, well, I'm not going to try to hit any bumps in the road because I know your lady parts are healing and the baby obviously is in the car seat.
Yeah, I was like, please be very careful of any bumps.
Yeah.
I was not ready for that because I was still in pain.
Yeah. So, but our car ride was successful. There was no major issues. I tried not to really, like, obviously you're thinking about it and you're driving extra safe, but I was trying my best to just treat it as like a normal drive. Mm-hmm. So you don't like overthink it, because sometimes that can be an issue.
Yeah. I was going to say, how were you feeling driving that first time with us?
Yeah. I just tried not to, like, I don't know, put all that weight on my shoulders, like so much responsibility. But no, I just tried to treat it like a normal drive. And I don't know, I was thinking about when we pulled up the driveway, your mom, your dad, your brother, my mom were all at our house waiting for us. So I think I was more excited for our family to meet him for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. So when we drove up, there was a balloon on our mailbox. I think your mom got it because I had mentioned that I wanted a balloon after the baby was born. So we pull up and there's a balloon on the mailbox announcing it. And like Andy said, some of our immediate family was lined up. Like, both our moms are standing there filming. And I think like both of them were crying.
It's so awkward. It's almost like when you have to open Christmas presents in front of people where they like sit you down. All right, everybody open one present at a time. And you got to like, you know, everybody's watching you and you're opening it. And no matter what it is, you're already planning in your head your reaction just so you can move it on to the next person. That's kind of how I felt pulling into the driveway, because everybody was looking dead on to me. And it's like, all right, it's so awkward. Get out of the car. I know they were waiting for the baby and you and not so much me, but it's like you feel everybody just staring at you and waiting for you to like open the door and pull up.
Well, honestly, it was weird for me when we did pull up and we're getting ready to get out of the car, because it's like both of our moms were standing right there with our cameras ready.
Oh, my God.
And it's like I was chopped liver, and it's like, all right, can you guys give me a second to get out of the car? Like, I'm in pain, so I'm taking things a little slowly. And then you could see the baby. I couldn't pick up the baby myself because I was still recovering, so I couldn't pick up the car seat.
Yeah, and then I remember that you got out and you were like messing around with the baby in the back seat, and I took the baby's hat from the hospital, and your brother was holding our dog, Bella. Mm-hmm. So I walked right up to Bella, and she was really excited to see us. She hasn't seen us in a couple of days. And I remember just putting the hat like in front of her face, and she was sniffing it like crazy, wagging her tail. And she's a mutt, but what kind of mix do you think
she is?
She's
a mix. I think, well, she's definitely part yellow lab, and then I think part border collie is the other half. And so Andy had to do this because obviously with COVID, we weren't allowed to leave the hospital, right. Let alone like
give an article of clothing to somebody from the baby.
So we couldn't do what you would normally do when you have a dog, which is bring something home ahead of time.
Right.
So we just gave her the little hat to sniff like when we got home with the baby, because we had no choice. That's what we had to do.
And we just prayed for the best, because she can be like the most loving dog, but she has like a very weird streak in her where like not towards us or like anybody that's family or friends with us, but she can be weird to other dogs. She's like very territorial.
She's very territorial. And like, and she can be jealous too sometimes, but she's more, I feel like she, like her scary side is more towards like other animals,
near strangers,
not so much. You know, obviously if there's a delivery person that comes to our door,
she starts barking. She just like barks.
Yeah. She's pretty much all bark. Yeah. But,
your mom and my mom were nervous, and I feel like your dad was nervous too. They're like, oh, the dog can't be in the room and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And we're like, all right, we'll figure it out. Like, let's see what happens. And I remember us talking about it on the way home and just like thinking about it and praying like, Bella, please, please, please be okay with this baby. And honestly, she acts like the baby doesn't even exist. She acts more like he doesn't exist than like she does anything else. Mm-hmm. But when she does acknowledge him, it's funny, when we come home from places, she always looks for the car seat and looks for him.
Yeah.
And she's like put her nose on him, like sniffed him, or even like licked his hand a couple times. But she's like beyond like anything I could have ever thought, in like the best way possible. She's such a good dog with this baby, and it's such a relief. And I'm like proud of her for it. Like, it's so awesome.
The very first time she met him, she like, you know, barely acknowledged him.
But
really,
she didn't growl, like sniff him or anything like crazy. It was almost like, whatever, if you guys are cool with this baby, so am I.
Yeah, she just kind of like sniffed him quickly. And then, you know, like obviously he stayed in the house with us. So then I think she kind of like realized like, oh, he's staying here. But she never like really minded
him. Like when he would make a noise or cry, she never like, you know, was staring at him or like anything.
Yeah.
And I think it helped big time that during the night, like when we would be stressed out or frustrated, we never showed her that we were frustrated with the baby.
Right.
Like whenever the baby would cry or we had to get up or move around, we'd always like praise the baby, like, oh, you know, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like just talk to the baby like it's a baby, not like, oh, come on, stop crying. Because I feel like she would have fed off that energy.
Yeah.
Not that we would be like that anyways, but I think that does help. Like she feeds off our energy. She could tell that we're nurturing and loving, and it's part of the family. He's part of the family. So
yeah, so
she could tell.
Kind of like you said, now it's like really funny when we come home from places, she's like literally looking for him. Like if you walk in without him, because like, you know, sometimes if I go to my mom's or something and I have stuff to bring inside, if the baby's sleeping in the car seat, I just leave him in the car while I bring some stuff inside, and then I'll go grab him once I'm done bringing in whatever. And if I don't have him, she's like looking around like, hello, where's like my little brother? Yeah. Did you forget him somewhere?
And then we have two cats, really one cat. And the other cat is my sister's cat that it seems like she will never take back because we've been fostering. She moved into a co-op and she couldn't have two pets and she has a dog. So we were babysitting her cat until her old dog maybe passes away or she gets a bigger place. And the cats also, I don't know how cats usually react to babies, but the cats act like the baby doesn't exist too. So.
Yeah, they pretty much like ignore him. And our cat, he actually like, he loves to cuddle. And so sometimes I'll be like on the couch with the baby and like the baby fell asleep on me or the baby's nursing and the cat will just want to come like cuddle with me. So he tries to like climb on the baby and I'm like, dude, do you not realize you're stepping on a baby right now?
Yeah.
So it's like they'll like sniff his head sometimes, right, I notice, but that's pretty much all they do. They just kind of like sniff him and then I don't know if they realize that it's like another little person. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know if they recognize that.
Well, we don't let the cats in the room when he sleeps. We shut the door and leave all the cats out. I don't know how other people treat that when they have cats, but we're just nervous. Not that obviously intentionally the cat would lay on a baby, but we want to be able to sleep peacefully when we can. So we just leave the cats out of the bedroom.
Yeah, because our cat...
Never let the baby be somewhere where a cat could potentially... You know, try to cuddle with the baby and suffocate him. God forbid.
Yeah, because our cat usually sleeps in the bed with us. He loves to cuddle.
Yeah.
But since we had the baby, unfortunately, we leave him out of the room because I feel like we wouldn't be able to sleep peacefully with the cat in there. Because like, what if he decides to go in the bassinet and cuddle?
You're
like,
trying
it's
to
too
sleep
terrifying.
When you can.
Yeah.
You don't want to be thinking about that. But you can hear his little ass like scratching the door. And it's heartbreaking. You're like, oh man, sorry, Smokey.
It's so heartbreaking when he's at the door, like just those sad, sad meows. It's like, I'm sorry, man, but you like to cuddle, so you can't come in here.
Yep. All right, so let's take a break for 5 minutes, and then when we come back, we talk about our parents meeting the baby for the first time. And maybe our first night with the baby or the first couple nights at home. All right.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay. So now we're home and we're driving up the driveway and everybody's going to look at the baby for the first time. So what do you remember?
After pulling up and getting out of the car, like I said, I was kind of chopped liver. They all just wanted to see the baby. So everybody sees the baby, Bella meets the baby, and then we finally work our way back into the house so that people could actually like really see the baby up close and hold him. But I do remember leading up to this that we were debating for a while how we were going to handle our family meeting the baby for the first time because we're in a pandemic. So I know we were kind of nervous and stressed about that. But I know we ended up deciding we felt it was important that our family, our immediate family, at least got to meet him.
Yeah, they weren't able to experience the whole hospital thing. So, you know, it'd be nice for them to experience holding the baby.
Yeah.
They didn't want to take that away from them.
Yeah. So, so we all worked our way back inside and I think we had my mom hold the baby. So she held him for a little bit. Then I think he went off to his other grandma, your mom.
Yeah. And then eventually your brother, your dad refused to hold the baby. Because I feel like it's such a dad guy thing. Like I know it's not true for everybody, but our baby is probably the first baby I ever held. I mean, I know I held my niece, but not for like that long of a time. Like I feel like you're just so afraid of like breaking the baby.
Yeah, I think a lot of men are very nervous about holding a baby because they just think they're too fragile or too small. So I feel like so many men just get nervous about holding a tiny baby. So to this day, like our baby's 3 months old now and my dad still hasn't held him. Like he's still scared. He's like, his head is still a little bit wobbly. So I'm not ready to hold him yet.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for his head to be stable. That was always like a thought in the back of my mind whenever I held them or picked them up.
It's a lot more stable now, but
yeah, it's crazy now.
But my dad is like, nope, he's still not sturdy enough for me to hold. So I don't know. I guess one day my dad will decide the baby's sturdy enough to hold him. Maybe maybe when he's going to kindergarten or something.
Yeah. I just remember the one thing that annoyed me that just came into my head was us walking into the house and like everybody's like swarming everywhere. And I was holding the baby for a second. And I remember like multiple people like, oh, you got to hold the baby this way. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's like, hey, I was in the hospital the last 3 days. I literally watched that thing and come out of my wife's vagina and cut its umbilical cord. Like, I feel like I'm pretty, not a professional, but like, I don't need to be coached at this point. Like, trust me, I'm past that point.
Like, we're the ones that have been taking care of him since he was born 2 days ago.
Right. It's like, I'm not holding the baby for the first time as I'm walking through our house. Like, thank you, though.
Yeah. So,
then it's like, yeah, and you're tired, too. So it's like,
I don't know. That's like our first time home in 3 days. And there's tons of people. You're tired. You're happy for everyone to meet the baby. But you're also like, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not in the mood right now to be like critiqued.
Yeah, definitely not. We were running on minimal sleep at that point. But yeah, so everybody except my dad, like we said, holds the baby. And we actually surprised my brother and actually all our family because we didn't talk about this to anybody before the baby came, but we surprised my brother that day by asking him to be the godfather. And that was a really nice surprise for him and for us too, because he seemed to be really excited and like honored. Like he got a little teary eyed and he's not, you know, a guy that typically shows his emotions that much. So that was a really nice surprise.
Yeah, he was definitely honored. It was a good, solid pick for sure. He's going to do such a great job. Our son's lucky to have him. And then the next day, we asked my sister to be the godmother. So that was nice also.
Yeah, so we only had some of our immediate family that first day. And then the next day was when your sister and brother-in-law and niece got to come and meet the baby. And yeah, we asked your sister to be the godmother too, which was nice. So I think she was really happy about that too.
Right. And then, like you said, my dad and Lori and everybody, Tina, my mom, Olivia, Ray, they all got to meet the baby the next like 2 days, I think. I think my dad came over the next day, held the baby. And then, which with Lori.
He was definitely
we kind of like forced him. Yeah, kind of forced the baby on him. And then I think, you know, later that day or the next day, Tina and my mom and everybody came over again.
Yeah. So lots of visitors those first couple days. But it was nice that all the immediate family got to come over and meet him.
Yeah, it's something cool about watching your parent hold your kid for the first time.
Yeah.
Watching my dad and my mom and even my sister and even like my niece meeting our baby was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool being able to meet like you know, your first cousin. So that's pretty cool.
It's almost like a passing of the torch. It's like you were their baby forever.
Yeah.
And now you have a baby, which is also like, you know, not their baby, but like just somebody else for them to worry about and care about. So it's cool.
No, it must be kind of mind-blowing as a parent to see, like, your child's child.
Yeah.
And I do have to say, I have to give your dad major credit for holding our baby that first day because he's held him a couple times since then. And like we said, my dad still hasn't done it. So your dad gets major props on that.
Yeah.
But
and then
the only – yeah, so the only ones in our immediate family that the baby – didn't get to meet those first like 2 days are our grandparents.
Right, so but your grandpa came over, what, a couple days or a week later?
Yeah, I think he came over sometime that week. I think the baby might have been a week old, so it was a few days after everyone else. So that was exciting. I know my grandpa was like so happy to meet the baby. You know, he can be kind of negative sometimes, so I know that he was happy that he was able to meet his great grandchild. And I know to this day, it's like that kid is like the highlight of his life now. Like he's just always asking about the baby, always wants to see the baby.
Hey, you can see it in his eyes and in his face when he's in the same room as the baby. Or he kind of like brightens up.
Yeah. Even just seeing a video or picture of the baby, he really just like lights up. So
that's so cool.
It's something really exciting for him. And then your grandparents.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that on my end, I guess. My grandparents, which, you know, they've obviously talked to him through FaceTime a bunch of times, but just like meeting in person. So the whole COVID stuff, they live in Florida. So, you know, eventually they'll get up here and they'll meet him. Can't wait for that.
It really stinks that with this whole COVID thing happening because it's like, well, now we don't know when your grandparents, when it's like safe for them to come up, but You know, that's something that like I really want to see too. Like I'm really excited for them to come and meet him. So
yeah,
hopefully it'll happen soon. Things will get somewhat normal.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I know. But so then nighttime starts to be discussed between all our parents. And I think my mom volunteered to take the first night because it was just easier because it's a Saturday night and she goes to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So she went home, packed the bag. She slept over. Then your mom stayed, I think, the next two or three or what felt like an eternity after that.
Yeah. And, I think it was like the next two or three nights.
Yeah. So I remember the first night was just nice that I feel like, you know, it was nice to have somebody there. And I said yes right away when your mom and my mom asked if we wanted help.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could have done it. It was just reassuring because I wasn't afraid of the baby, like something like an emergency happening to the baby. I was just more afraid that we just would crash from not sleeping. So I was more worried about like us not being able to like just physically handle it anymore.
Yeah. Mentally. I mean, for me, I was worried about us not being able to get like any rest, which thank God your mom was there the first night, because I remember I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning trying to get the baby to sleep because this baby is a newborn. So, you know, it's in a brand new world surrounded by all the stimuli. So it's overwhelming. So I feel like those first couple nights, that first week, it's really hard getting the baby just to settle and go to sleep. So I remember just handing him off at 4 a.m, like, I really just need to get a few minutes of sleep right now.
I just remember sleeping with the lights on, like very dim, and having that be like, have you ever heard your alarm go off on like your phone or somebody else's phone at like, you know, in the afternoon when it's not waking you up from
that
sleep and you just feel it in your body like, oh my God, God damn it. So I remember every time I walked into our bedroom, the lights would be on dim and I would have that feeling. And I just remember thinking, like,
here we go.
This, yeah, like I'm trapped in here and I'll never be able to sleep. And just, it was tough. It was, thinking back on those first couple nights, very hard, very, very hard. Because if the baby's not sleeping, if the baby is sleeping, the baby's gonna wake up because they pooped or peed. It was like constant diaper changes, constant crying. Yeah. It was hard just thinking back on it for sure.
Yeah, the baby was obviously very, very needy those first couple nights. So now it's much better during the night. He still has his bad nights, but it's nothing like it was those first few nights.
Yeah, and you're still healing too. It's not like...
Yeah, so for me, it's like, you know, if I have to walk around and rock the baby back to sleep, it's not so easy for me to just climb in and out of bed.
Right. Or just to go to the bathroom for yourself. You know, like it's...
Yeah, because like I said,
an experience, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But so our moms helped us those first few nights. And then we finally decide after like the third or fourth night, like, all right, let's.
Well, I think the first night we were going to decide to be by ourselves. My mom asked if she should come over and we said no. And then your mom just showed up at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And we're like, okay. Like like, thank you for coming over. We'll never say that we don't want you to come over. But it was like, okay, that was our first time thinking we were going to have our night to ourselves. And it was like a surprise visit late at night, which whatever.
You're right. I completely forgot that that happened. We were planning to just do it on our own. Yeah. And then my mom just like surprised us and showed up and it's like, all right, I guess we're going to have help for one more night. And so she did help us that one night. But I do remember we like didn't really need her help the last night she was here. Like I remember she came in, I think once to help us during the night rather than it being multiple times like it was the nights before.
Right.
So then the next day it's like, all right, we're definitely going to give this a try on our own now.
Right. Yeah.
So, which we did.
We were looking forward to it because it was like 4 or 5 days after we were home before it was just us with the baby.
Yeah. But I do know that like because we were so exhausted and sleep deprived, I remember feeling very nervous about that first night on our own. Like I was like, will we be able to get the baby to go to sleep? That was my concern. Like, can we get him to sleep just us? Because if he doesn't fall asleep, then we aren't sleeping at all.
I remember laying in bed, sitting up, realizing this is no joke. This is tough. Like nobody could have ever explained it to us this way or prepared us. They say and they joke, oh, it's going to be hard. But I just remember thinking, how do people do it? How is the human race still a thing? Because it doesn't seem like this is possible. It seems like you just won't ever sleep again. Like you're going to go crazy. It's the first couple of nights, it feels like you're helpless and not because you can't take care of the baby, but because you just like that. I know it's like a theme of our podcast, me talking about not sleeping, but it's just so real. And if you've ever been somebody that's been sleep deprived or have a job where you like, for whatever reason, you can't get the sleep you need, it's tough. It's hard. That like mentally exhausted is way scarier than being physically exhausted. And I remember being like mentally exhausted and physically exhausted.
Yeah.
and just like hard. And as soon as you think you can sleep, the baby cries or you hear like an explosion in the diaper. You're like, oh,
yep.
Come on.
Yep, that's very true.
But yeah. It gets better. Everybody says it gets better and it has.
It's gotten better. Yeah, for sure.
Just, man, you feel like it never will though in the beginning.
No,
it's scary.
You do feel that way and it's really hard. And not that it's like much easier now, but I feel like the whole nighttime thing has gotten significantly better.
It is much easier now. Like I know you wake up a lot throughout the night and I'll wake up sometimes to help you. I'm not back at work and you're not yet. So you've been really pulling like extra shifts here. So I appreciate it. But it's, no, I remember thinking I was never going to sleep again.
Yeah.
At least now we know like you get him to bed between somewhere between like 7:30 and 8:30. He's going to go to bed and, you know, maybe he'll wake up once, but he's probably going to be out until like 12:30, 1:30.
Right.
That wasn't happening the first couple nights.
Yeah, no.
It's night and day better now for sure.
Yeah. And when they're newborn, they start off and they don't always know their nights from their days, obviously. So in the beginning, I remember they're really like, wasn't a bedtime. It was just like, I'm feeding the baby whenever the baby's hungry. And like, that means the baby's going to bed at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. But now it's like, we actually have a bedtime routine and like, we do have a bedtime and we know the baby's usually going to end up asleep for the night between 7:30 and 9, which is nice.
Well, you're also scared about, is the baby getting what it needs, you know, because you don't know, like, is the baby still hungry? Like, is it getting enough food? Is it getting enough nutrients? It's crazy.
Yeah, especially in the beginning because you're feeding on demand. So it's like, you want, if the baby's crying, it's like, all right, is the baby hungry? Does the baby need to eat more? So you really are focused on that in the beginning. So
yeah, it's just a lot to think about and you try and it's, yeah, it was, for me, it was scary, but it got better every single day. Like everybody says it does. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, and I've said this to you jokingly, we're not having another kid. Like who knows what's in store for us in the future, but it was like, so just so unreal of an experience and like eye opening that I was like, I don't know if I could do this again. And anybody who's had twins or triplets or anything like that, how do you do it? How do you do it?
I don't know. I don't know how anyone does it if you have more than one at a time.
Yeah.
But I do remember that one night you were holding the baby, trying to get him to sleep. And you were like, I'm not having another one. I can't do this again.
Yeah, it hurts.
And I remember like, because it was hard at that point, but part of me was like, oh, that's really sad because I always thought I'd have more than one kid.
No, of course. Yeah, I want to, like, you have a brother and I have a sister.
Yeah.
So I would like for him to have a sibling for sure. But it's really hard. It's like when you burn your hand on the stove, you know it hurts. You're not going to do it again, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, having a kid is so different. I'm really just kind of being a baby about it and over-exaggerating. But when you're in the moment, those first couple nights I'm talking about, not now. Now we know we can do it and, you know, it's a routine now. But that first, like, night or two, you're, like, just, I don't know, you're scared.
Yeah.
And you're hurting.
Yeah.
And you're worried about your baby. So it's just a lot going on in your head, for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of different things that are kind of mixing in. So lots of different emotions. And
you're putting somebody, like, you know, you've put me first and I've put you first. But you're putting this life form ahead of you for the first time in your life where like somebody is completely dependent on you. You more so than me, obviously. But, you know, it's just like that baby is your like top concern. So that's like also it changes in a night. It changes in like a matter of, you know, 45 minutes is what you pushed for, right?
Yeah, 40 minutes I pushed.
Yeah, so like now that's it. Now this baby's in the world and you're second. I'm second, you know. You're second place to yourself. Now the baby comes first. And it happens really fast. It's really such an honor, obviously, but it's just a lot at once.
Yeah.
You think you're prepared, but.
Yeah, you're never truly prepared. It's just you kind of get yourself into it and then you just start to figure it out. That's what we've been doing. So.
Yeah, I think our next kid, if we have a next kid, which I know we want to, will be easier because we know what's in store for us now. Like, obviously, hopefully the baby's healthy and all that. Like you don't know what's coming, obviously. And you don't know the baby could be the worst sleeper, the best sleeper, but at least you've like we've gone through this run now. You know what I mean?
Well, now we'll be mentally prepared for the whole newborn thing. Yeah, sleep-wise,
you know what you're in for.
Yeah, and like having a newborn. But one thing that I've been telling you is going to be different the second time around is we'll have a toddler to take care of on top of a newborn. So that's going to be a whole new monster when the time comes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we did have help this first time, so we could always, you know, try to get some help the second time around, be like, maybe someone can watch, you know, our son for a couple of days while we get readjusted with the newborn. So we can
hopefully he'll be at an age where he's a little bit talking, you know, for sure walking.
Yeah.
So that would be, I don't know. For some reason, I'm not too worried about that, having a toddler and a second baby.
I don't know. I just keep thinking how exhausting that's going to be.
Yeah.
Having to run after a toddler during the day with a newborn that's not sleeping at night.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That's why, like, maybe the first couple nights it would be nice if the our son could stay, you know, with kick a him grandparent out already. Tell something. Him to go get a
job. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not kick him out. But hey, why don't you sleep at grandma's house? Yeah.
I've been thinking about that lately. Like I've been thinking about that lately, how weird the first night's gonna be whenever he's the age of us, you know, just being okay with him not sleeping at our house with us.
Yeah.
You know, however long that is in the future. But I just think sometimes, because, you know, we haven't been just you and I in 3 months, a little over 3 months. So
I know.
Yeah. It would be weird.
We need to go out on a date, even though we have this pandemic going on, because we haven't even done that yet. So that'll be, it's going to be weird going out, like, and not having the baby with us.
All right. But so that's basically our story from, you know, pregnancy to birth to home the first couple of days.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to start interviewing people, especially like, you know, your parents, my parents, our friends, our, you know, whoever. Like, it's going to be really cool. I'm really, really excited to introduce my grandparents to everybody and interview them, just hear their story growing up in like World War II Germany. Mm-hmm. So that will be really cool. And I think, like, my grandma, I always tell her she should write a book. Her story is incredible. She was in like a, not like a bunker, but I guess kind of a bunker in a basement with a whole bunch of people from her village, like crying with her mom, and bombs were going off in her town. And she remembers looking up and seeing a woman who was holding her baby with the baby's head disappear, like just totally blown off. And then she was separated from her mom and her dad. And it's really crazy story. It's just incredible. So I can't wait for them to come on and for me to have that recorded.
Yeah. So hopefully starting with our next episode, maybe we'll be able to have our first guest finally. And
even people that don't have kids, we're going to interview and it's going to be funny.
Yeah. So,
or interesting.
So we'll see. Hopefully the next episode we can add somebody else into the mix. And yeah. All right. So it's time for our weekly success and fail. So Andy, why don't you start this week?
All right. So success, I feel like I'm pretty consistently getting the baby to laugh. Like, I know how to get him to laugh and crack up. And he laughed for the first time in his life, like a laugh out loud, like laughing out loud for a good amount of time with me. And you actually recorded it. So that's special to have. I can't wait to show him as he grows up and just to have it for myself.
Yeah, it was awesome to get that on video, but
it truly was.
I can't say that I'm not jealous. You're about jelly. That.
Yep.
So jealous. I try to get the kid to laugh, and I've gotten a few giggles here and there, but nothing like Andy gets. So it's very frustrating.
Yeah, even tonight he was laughing out loud a little bit.
I know. And I'm really like, what the heck? I was just trying to get him to laugh. Why is he cracking up at you again? I feel like you do nothing and he cracks up.
No, I make like funny sounds and do funny things with him.
Whatever.
You don't know how to do that. But yeah, that's been like the one thing watching him grow is like, it's hard to notice changes when you're with somebody every day. It's like you know, working out, but looking at yourself in the mirror, it's like, it's hard to notice things, but like watching him laugh and smile has been really cool. Like an evolution. It was like, just to see him like growing.
Yeah. Cool. Cause when he was first born, it's like, he's just this little like human that basically just cries and doesn't really interact or understand there's a world around him. And now he's like way more and aware.
Eye contact.
Yeah. And like
listening to you and reacting
to us. Yeah. Like, he's literally, you know, obviously not talking, but like communicating with us.
Yeah. And then a failure was one night I had a sneezing fit and you have not been able to let me live it down because I couldn't help it. I was like trying to shove my whole mouth into my, like, in between my forearm and like my bicep just to cover it. And I can't help that I sneeze pretty loud. And then I would blow my nose and whatever, like the tissue would like tickle my nose or whatever. So then I kept sneezing and sneezing. Then the baby woke up and then I was like, oh my God, I have to deal with like you being upset. So that's my failure.
Yeah. It was like 4 something in the morning. I just fed the baby and put him back in the bassinet, sleeping peacefully. Then Andy starts sneezing in the bed. Then he goes to the bathroom and continues sneezing. He sneezed like 10 times. And then all of a sudden, the baby starts wailing. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. All right,
next time I'll hold it in and die. How about that?
No, don't hold it in, but you just need to learn how to sneeze quietly.
Yeah, I would. Trust me. It's not like I chose to sneeze loud. It's like, yeah, let me see if I can wake this baby up. No, I was trying to sneeze quietly. It's not a thing you can just decide to do.
Well, that was an epic fail, my dude.
It's not like your sneezes. You go, achoo!
Exactly.
Like, what the hell is that? Quiet. Did you say something? Did you say, hey, you, or did you sneeze?
Hey, at least I wouldn't wake up the baby, so.
Oh, my God. All right, so what's your success and failure?
All right, so my success was I recently discovered, and this is actually a tip for new parents too, I recently discovered a much better way to clip the baby's fingernails because babies are teeny tiny. If you've ever tried clipping their nails, you know that it's terrifying.
It's the scariest thing ever.
It's so scary.
And when you clip them, you think you chop their finger off every single time.
It's very scary. I refuse to clip his nails for a couple of weeks, and then I finally got the courage to like do it. Andy was the one that was doing in the beginning. But so, you know, any women out there, if you go to get your nails done, you sit in front of the manicurist and she like does your nails obviously in front of you. So that's how I would try to clip the baby's nails. But I realized that if you actually go from behind the baby's hand rather than in front, it's so much easier because you can get a better grip on those tiny little fingernails. So a good thing to do is to go, don't be a manicurist going from the front, go from behind the hand to clip a baby's nails. I think it helps. I don't know. You tried it the other day. Did you feel like it was a little easier?
Yeah.
I feel like you could see the nail better and you can grip it better.
His nails were long too, so it helped.
Yeah, so that was my success, finding a better way to clip his nails so I feel more comfortable. My failure, which just happened the other day, I don't know how this happened, but I changed the baby's diaper, put him in a fresh diaper, and usually I'll put the diaper on quickly and then I'll like go wash my hands because I have like ointment or whatever on my hands, and then I'll come back and fix his diaper and get him all dressed up. So I do that, wash my hands, and I come back, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of pee in his fresh diaper, but most of the pee was outside of his diapers.
Yeah, he does that.
So that was a fail, and I don't really know what happened. I'm like, maybe he mostly peed out of his diaper because it wasn't completely, like, it just wasn't on tight enough yet.
Who knows?
So I don't know what happened, but I was like, well, that's great. Now I need to change his clothes.
Yeah, it's like a urine fountain. His little wiener just shooting pee up everywhere. It's amazing how far he can pee.
It
like shoots over his whole body.
Oh, yeah. We've got plenty of peeing stories for sure. Yeah. So that was my fail for this week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Raining Diapers and Tears. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Be on the lookout for our newest episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Raining Diapers and Tears. You can text or call us at 845-232-0318 with your questions, stories, advice, tips, or topic ideas. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.